Hello, fellow nerds, and welcome to Season 2 of the Modern Health Nerd Podcast, where every week, for 10 episodes, we're going to be bringing you fascinating conversations with the movers, shakers, and innovators in all things whole food plant-based. I'm your host, Teresa Sam Houghton, Chief Nerd at The Modern Health Nerd. We're kicking off the season with a conversation with Tyler Mayoras, who is the executive officer of All Things Cool at Cool Beans, a brand that is bringing whole food plant-based convenience and amazing flavor to the frozen section of the grocery store. Tyler himself adopted a plant-based diet and saw a ton of health benefits and learned a lot more about the environmental benefits and all of the other things that eating plant-based and living plant-based can do for you. And today, through Cool Beans, he's helping others integrate more whole plant foods into their diets in that convenient way. Tyler initially joined me for episode 33 of season 1 of the podcast, so if you haven't heard that, I encourage you to go back and take a listen to that interview as well. Tyler is a wealth of information about plant-based, about environmental, about health, tons of things that he shared on that episode. In this episode, we focus specifically on plant-based in the marketplace, what Cool Beans is doing to bring whole food plant-based to the market, and what other brands can do to bring whole food plant-based more to the forefront of the plant-based movement. Before we dive into this episode, I wanted to thank all of you for your continued support of the Modern Health Nerd podcast. If you are enjoying this, please follow us, give us a review on your favorite podcasting platform. We are all over the place now, pretty much anywhere that you like to listen to podcasts. And starting this season, you can also go straight to the anchor page for this podcast and actually become a podcast supporter. So that's just anchor.fm/the-modern-health-nerd and click on the support button. Anything that you're able to contribute or that you want to contribute will help me to continue to bring more seasons of this podcast to you and continue to have these fascinating conversations with people from all over the plant-based space. Got some pretty exciting things lined up for this season and for the seasons to come, including some panel episodes for the very first time. Really excited about those. And I've talked for long enough, and so without further ado, my conversation with Tyler Mayoras of Cool Beans about whole food plant-based in the marketplace. Well, Tyler, welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited to kick off season 2 on whole food plant-based with you.
Thank you. Thanks. It's great to be back. Really enjoyed the last time, so this should be fun.
So, since you have been a guest before, if you could just give a brief introduction for people who don't know you or what you do, and also give us any interesting or new exciting updates that have been going on since the last time that we talked.
Great, sure. So, I'm Tyler Mayoras, and I spent about 20 years in private equity, investing mostly in food and agriculture companies, before co-founding Cool Beans. And Cool Beans is a whole food plant-based frozen food item. We've started with burritos, and they just have beans, veggies, whole grains, and spices inside. So none of the fake meat, fake cheese, et cetera. So very minimally processed, and we're growing across the country. I think when I was here last time, we were the only big chain was probably Sprouts, and then a lot of independent chains, and we've since added Wegmans and Safeway Northern California. We've just introduced two new flavors, sesame ginger and Tuscan basil. And sesame ginger is now in all the Sprouts across the country. So that's the easiest place to find it.
So if you're listening and you need a snack after the podcast, you can just head over to Sprouts and get yourself a sesame ginger Cool Beans wrap.
Yeah. We think it might be our best seller. It started off very strong and everybody that hears the name wants to try it.
Well, I can't wait till you're in Whole Foods because I don't live in a place in the country where we have Sprouts yet. So
yeah, we are going to go into the Whole Foods in the Northeast, but Whole Foods has kind of made a new change where they used to sell, you could buy, go into a region, and now it's all kind of controlled at national, but we were approved into the Northeast region, but that means that we have to sell each individual store. So it's going to take a little while to get into them, but we do have approval to go hunting in the Northeast. So that's good.
Well, if you ever need a good word, I don't know how much influence I would have, but I'd definitely give them a little consumer feedback now that we're making everybody hungry.
That's right.
I don't think I actually asked you this the last time you were on. So why do you personally choose to eat and live whole food plant-based, at least the majority of the time?
I've been blessed or cursed with having done a lot of research on food and agriculture over time, having been an investor. And so I first moved to plant-based because of climate, but as I made the transition, I really started doing a lot of research on health. I read the China study, I watched Forks Over Knives, and then just started reading more and more books, including books by Zach Bush and Fiber Fueled by Dr. Will Bolsiewicz, and pretty much all of what they're talking about when they talk about plant-based being healthy is they're talking about a whole food plant-based diet or a mostly whole food plant-based diet. So that's really what I was focused on. And it was very helpful. And I lost a lot of weight as a result of doing that. And it's been just great for overall numbers, health numbers, et cetera.
That's fantastic. That's somewhat of my journey too. It was documentaries, books definitely got me on there. How did you first get into the actual movement? Was Cool Beans your first foray into whole food plant-based in the marketplace or plant-based in the marketplace? Or did you do something before that?
No, that was the first foray. And really, I didn't have any intention of becoming an entrepreneur. I was perfectly happy being an investor in the space. But I was just incredibly frustrated walking through the grocery store because once you leave the produce aisle, it's really hard to find whole food, plant-based anything. There's a lot of vegan food out there, but most of it's vegan junk food, as you well know. And I'm happy to do that stuff once or twice a week. And I do. I enjoy a lot of the different products that you've heard about and whatnot. I just would never eat those every day. I just don't think your health would be any better than eating meat, really.
So I really wanted to jump to this. I know that you went to Expo East in 2021. What did you see, like the proportion between people who are pursuing a more whole food plant-based line of products versus things like food tech or what we were just saying is more what some people would classify as a junk food?
It's still predominantly in the junk food realm. I will say I was very encouraged by some of the things that I was seeing. So, you know, I don't know that I have a percentage for you, but I would guess that it's less than 15%. I mean, it's still pretty low. I used to never see any products like this. And I've seen several companies at Expo East that were really professing to have whole food ingredients and being the whole plant as opposed to things that are heavily processed into some kind of a food product. So yeah, I think it's moving in the right direction. But again, I've always kind of looked at this as a journey for people. They come to plant-based for either climate or animals or health. And when they get here, they find out how easy it is now to eat plant-based. And then they start learning about the health benefits and start moving themselves up the hill toward primarily making more food themselves, which is great, you know, making as much as you can. Because that definitely is whole food ingredients, but they start moving toward those products. And I think that's hopefully the journey we'll see happen. We've got so many more plant-based eaters now, and it just keeps growing. So hopefully they'll start making that journey up the hill.
I'm glad you said journey. That's how I like to define it. And I see a lot of, you know, there's this dichotomy between, well, health and taste. And I don't think there has to be one. So I wanted to hear a little bit about that from you in terms of what was the reaction to Cool Beans like at Expo East? That was where you launched the new flavors, right?
Yeah, we have been incredibly lucky with that. Our flavors and, you know, I'd like to say we were geniuses. We weren't. We were trying this and figuring it out, but we used a lot of spices and that helped to bring out the flavor. And pretty much anywhere we've gone where we've tested product, I would say it's somewhere between 85 and 95% of the people rave about it. I was just at a tasting and it was Naturally Chicago, which is an organization in Chicago, mostly organic and natural foods. And a lot of people didn't know of Cool Beans and had not tried it before. And it was just crazy. People just kept coming back for more and more and they loved it. So that's the kind of reaction we get. So we're very blessed to have products that taste really good because that's the number one thing with food in general that you have to hit or else you're not going to sell much. And then when they learn that, oh my God, it tastes really great, but yet it's just these ingredients. Holy cow, that's amazing. And that's the kind of reactions we're getting and we want to get.
I want to go back to what you said about taste and spices, because as I mentioned, there's a big thing in the plant-based movement about, well, it's got to taste good. And I've actually heard objections to having more whole food plant-based products because people say, well, the general consumer is not going to think that tastes good. Sounds like you guys have hit the nail on the head with flavor. So as a health coach, that was always something where I wanted people to be able to enjoy what they were doing. So tell us a little more about how you bring out that flavor. Maybe something that even people who want to be cooking more whole food plant-based might be able to apply to their own diets.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think that a lot of people think about plant-based as being those grain burgers from the 70s and 80s, right? And they were, you know, they just don't taste very good. They taste like crunchy cardboard. That is not at all what's going on today in plant-based. What I found when I went plant-based was I ate a ton more flavor than I used to. And the reason is because we're so conditioned on fat, sugar, and salt in our standard American diet that we really don't use a lot of other spices. But then when you create something that's from vegetables and you need to add spices, all of a sudden you start adding spices that have this crazy different flavor than you've ever been exposed to. You know, things like cardamom and turmeric and paprika, one of my favorite spices in the world, paprika. So these things, they don't all have to be like spicy, like hot spicy. Some of them just bring out different flavors that are aromatic and really resonate with your taste bud. So that's really what it's all about. And we try to incorporate that into our product. But anybody that's cooking at home, you know, if they're getting recipes on plant-based recipes, they tend to have a lot of spices they've probably never tried before. And it makes sense to go out and buy them and get them and have them at home because they're going to be very valuable for you as you grow in your plant-based journey.
Yeah, that's definitely something that needs to be on everyone's stocking your plant-based pantry list. And I always tell people, if you have a place where you can go to like a bulk spice department and try little bits of this and that, it can really send you on a world tour, which really sounds like what you're doing with Cool Beans. I don't know if I asked you about your entire range of flavors last time we talked. Do you take people on a world tour with all of your flavors?
Yeah, we definitely wanted to kind of revolve around different flavors from the world. And we did that for a couple of reasons. One, we had read a lot of research that people were moving more and more toward worldly flavors. And so that really fit well with what I was doing personally and what we wanted to do. But two, it also kind of helps people because you're never going to hit all the consumers, right? You're never going to satisfy everybody. So you kind of got to hit people where they want to be or where they are. And so by hitting different world flavors, you know, sesame ginger is a great Asian flavor. And a lot of people really, that resonates with people right now. Tikka masala is our most popular flavor right now before sesame was introduced. And that's an Indian flavor that most people understand and know. And so that resonates. Spicy chipotle is a very spicy product. And that's kind of south of the border, Tex-Mex, kind of a flavoring to it. And people understand that. And if they like spicy and they like chipotle, they immediately know what that is. So yes, we definitely did do that by design. And we'll probably continue to incorporate that as we expand into other product areas.
So it sounds like you are really experimenting with things that will appeal to a wide variety of people, which is, again, I suppose I could call it a pain point in the idea of getting more whole food plant-based on the market is how many people are really going to want this. So what would you recommend to people who do want to hit a wider market with a whole food plant-based product, whether they already have one or they're developing one?
That's a good question. Well, I guess it depends on the food category that you're in. Taste is number one. And so if you're doing a dessert product or a pastry product or things like that, you know, it's got to taste pretty darn close to anything that somebody could get that isn't plant-based. Not that it has to, you have to replicate the taste, but it has to taste as good is what I guess I'm saying for people to want to buy it regularly. So I think that's true of any of the different categories that you're in. Obviously, if you're doing meals or working around meals, you can work with spices a lot. But if you're working in the dessert category, you've got to find some way to bring that flavor. And maybe you don't want to use sugar, but you can reuse sugar alternatives that bring the flavor.
So it all comes down to when you put it in your mouth, you have an enjoyable reaction, you have an enjoyable experience eating the food.
Yeah. That's why it didn't really work in the 70s and 80s, because this food that was coming out back then just wasn't that good. It didn't taste great. And it's hard to build a trend if the stuff doesn't taste good.
I've been plant-based for like 12-ish years, and even then the food wasn't that great. I was talking to somebody else recently. I said something like, we basically had Light Life, yes, tofu, tempeh and those plastic cheese slices that came in plastic and you couldn't really tell the difference between the cheese and the package.
Right, right. Yeah, it's come a long way, that's for sure. You know what's fascinating too, just a little bit about the growth of the market. In my neighborhood, which is Old Town in Chicago, which is near Lincoln Park, but it's a relatively small little area, we've added in the last month two vegan. One is a kind of a vegan comfort food type takeout place called I Can't Believe It's Not Meat. And the other one is real close to my house, brand new, Sweet Vegan Bakes. And it's got some food items, but then also has a lot of bakery things. So like beautiful cupcakes and cakes. And but then they also make an unbelievable gluten-free vegan mac and cheese. So a lot of different things. But what's just fascinating to me is, you know, who would have thought that my little area in Chicago would have been able to support one, let alone now there's two, and it just keeps growing. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, I saw you post about that bakery on your Instagram. Gave me flashbacks to when we used to have a vegan bakery in the area. You could go down to a corner in one of the nearby cities and just pick up a vegan cupcake. And she made these bars that were like s'mores bars with like Dandy's marshmallow. It would blow your mind. So
amazing. Yeah. What's also really interesting is the trend. Both of those are Black-owned businesses that are in my area. And it seems like, you know, the Black community in particular has really embraced veganism, I think, in part because of the health. It's just a great trend that we're seeing. And I love that these are both Black-owned businesses.
So on the subject of trends, since we're talking whole food plant-based in the market, where do you see there being kind of a lack right now that could perhaps turn into opportunities for aspiring entrepreneurs that want to get into the market with whole food plant-based products?
Well, I would definitely say breakfast is an area that's interesting. There are some burritos that are out there, but they tend to be, you know, fake meat, fake cheese. There are several bars, but a lot of those have eggs or dairy and things like that in them. So when you're talking about plant-based, there's not a huge number of them. There's Kind Bar, certainly. And there's one that I like, a newer one called Mezcla Bars that are whole food based on seeds. But I think that's an interesting area, the whole breakfast category in general. Yeah, I think there's been a lot of people that have come into the ice cream category. I'm not sure anybody's really hit it just right yet, but there's some really great tasting products out there. But that's certainly an interesting area. Yeah, those are some of the areas I can think of.
I can see ice cream being particularly interesting from the whole food plant-based perspective, because a lot of us have been freezing bananas and whizzing them in our food processors. And I know there's some people out there who are experimenting with that on a commercial scale, but I've also seen other stuff like avocado and some other things.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. I mean, like Daily Harvest has done the thing on the smoothie, but to the extent you could kind of create almost like a smoothie in a cup that's sold as a pint in the grocery stores would be interesting, because you're getting that frozen element that people really like for dessert. But for the most part, it's really whole, great ingredients that have just been ground together.
I would totally buy like smoothie ice cream. Look, people out there who are listening who have not launched this yet, somebody needs to do this. If I was just walking by like in the frozen section, like at our co-op, and I saw something that said like smoothie in a cup, I'd just be like, I can just stick a spoon in this and walk around and eat it and not worry. Yeah, totally. You know, especially being lactose intolerant.
For sure. Yeah, that's great. That's a good idea. Hopefully somebody will be listening and grab that idea.
Yeah, that would blow my mind. I'd be happy to do that. Because, you know, and also I'm not somebody who's huge on convenience food, but we're all busy sometimes. And you can't always make the green smoothie every single day. You just can't do that.
I used to run into this because I have smoothies, but I don't have them every day. And part of the problem is it's really loud. If you have other people in your family, it's not going to be a breakfast thing, because it's just really loud and obnoxious, right, to do that. So maybe it's a lunch alternative, but you do have to take that into consideration if you've got other family.
And that's something else, especially in the frozen category, is quick, convenient, and also if you're like the first one up. You said that like way back in the day, there used to be a coffee shop in my neighborhood and they also had music, and somebody actually had to build like a sound dampening thing for the blender when they made smoothies for that exact reason. So these are all like pain points and use cases that people don't think about a lot unless they have that particular concern or need in their own lives.
Right. And I don't really see them being able to ever fix that. Well, maybe someday, but you're talking about grinding ice. So ice is always going to be loud when you're grinding it up.
So those are some gaps. Those are some opportunities. So I hope that there are some aspiring entrepreneurs out there who are thinking along the lines of, where can I fill in some gaps? You know, here we are. It's a new year. And
A lot of opportunities are unfolding, and I'm sure the plant-based is just going to keep growing as time goes on. And as you mentioned before, we were talking Veganuary too, so people looking for new options to try and to kind of elevate their diets and their lifestyles. It's pretty exciting. How do you see Cool Beans really fitting into advancing whole food plant-based in particular as we go forward with the plant-based movement growing the way that it has been?
Well, you know, we were all about convenience with our first line. So burritos are just really convenient and great. Now, we were developing this before COVID hit. So it was kind of interesting. We've done well in our first year and a half since launch, but the convenience factor really wasn't as necessary as it had been before. Because if you think about, you know, when you were going to work, you could just put it in your backpack or briefcase and take it to work and then stick it in the freezer or just let it thaw and then cook it at midday. That is now coming back, but hadn't been a big consideration going forward. But that's what we were all about, was we wanted to give people a very convenient way to make whole food plant-based, because it's oftentimes it involves cutting up a lot of things and doing some stuff. So it's not real convenient if you're in a hurry. So that's what we were all about. You know, as we move into other product lines, we're certainly looking at bowls. We're certainly looking at breakfast and other ways to bring great tasting food with whole food ingredients that is convenient for people that don't have time to cook. That's really what we're about.
And I have really grown to admire a lot of the brands that are trying to merge the health and the convenience. If you think about the way we consider convenience food, what do you think of when you think convenience store or microwavable this or that? You think about junk, right?
Terrible ingredients, lots of chemicals. Yeah, that's historically what it's been.
So it sounds like what you're doing and what some of these other brands that are pursuing whole food plant-based is doing is to kind of flip the perception that convenient always has to be unhealthy.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. We want it to be able to fit right into your lifestyle of clean eating, but with something that you can eat on the go.
Again, former health coach in me is like, it's great to know that there's going to be more things coming out that I would feel comfortable recommending to friends. And also, I have a lot of friends with kids. I didn't have this as a question, but let's go down that road a little bit. Do you see people with families seeking out more of the whole as you are interacting with people in the marketplace?
Yeah. So actually, one of my co-founders, one of my partners in the business, Mark Doskow, is a parent of young children, and they're raising their two boys vegan and really focused on whole food plant-based. So he definitely feeds them a lot whole foods. The one thing that isn't super convenient yet is if they want to take them to school, and that's primarily unless they have access to a microwave. I think when you get to kind of high school age, you probably do, but not younger than that. You do need to be able to cook it in some way. Now, you could cook it and then put it in the backpack and they can eat it cold later. But certainly convenience at home. We've talked to a lot of folks, a lot of moms that are looking for easy, convenient ways to feed their kids something that's very, very healthy, but yet that they love the taste and it's easy for them. You know, it's 2 minutes in the microwave. That's it.
And you guys are gluten-free, right? So that would be a concern parents wouldn't have to worry about.
Yeah, we're gluten-free ingredients. So we are not gluten-free certified because our co-packer makes other things that have wheat in them sometimes. So we didn't go for certification, but we do have gluten-free ingredients in all our products.
Do you also have soy-free options?
Most of our products are soy-free. The new sesame ginger is not, but all the other four flavors are soy-free.
That's another aspect of convenience, is not having to worry about your allergies. And I find that's a big thing in whole food plant-based. I mean, there's wheat and there's soy in some whole food plant-based, but a lot of the other major stuff is out, especially things like artificial ingredients that can really, especially with kids, jazz you up in bad ways.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that was pretty important to us. We wanted a gluten-free alternative because in part, so many of the alternative products or the plant alternative protein products are made with wheat-based products. I think we wanted an alternative to that to be on the market because there is a lot more people that are focused on eating less gluten or gluten-free ingredients, whether they have celiac or not. It's a trend. And I personally was avoiding it because of the glyphosate issue. That's why we wanted to put it in that way.
And since it's not really a rabbit hole that we have time to chase right now, even though I would love to, I will drop a link or two in the show notes for people to look into that particular issue about glyphosate and conventional wheat and the potential issues there, especially with gut health. You mentioned earlier Zach Bush and Dr. Wilby, both of them great for gut health. So what do you see as, I'll ask it as a two-pronged question, your outlook for whole food plant-based based on what you've seen so far and your own personal desire, what you'd like to see whole food plant-based achieve in the marketplace?
So, you know, we revolve around the bean. We said, look, there's a lot of people making alternative protein, and that's great. And they're really interesting, et cetera. But here's this product that's been around for centuries, really for probably as old as humans. And it's incredibly good for you. It's the bean, and it's great for your gut. It's great for the environment. So that's what we revolved around. It's very easy to make whole food products if you revolve around the bean. So that's kind of what we did. I think that you'll see more people doing that. I know there's somebody that's creating burgers where they're just, it's ground up a lot of different vegetables and then they use spices to bring flavor, et cetera. I think we'll see a little more of that trend versus highly processed alternatives. Having said that, the things that are selling the best right now are going to be those fake chicken nuggets and whatnot, because it's what people are familiar with right now. But like I said, it's a journey. So that's what gets them in the door, which is great. And then let's move them up the hill to a much better, more nutritious, clean product over time.
Sounds like the next generation or upgrade of all of those things in the 70s that lacked the spices and things that you're now introducing with Cool Beans.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
I have to admit, it is getting crazy with the alternatives. I was at, I think it was Walmart the other day and saw like nuggets. And I'm like, what are these doing? This is Walmart. Of course, I also walked down an aisle recently and I found like sweet potato flour and superfood seed blends. I mean, when Walmart first opened, I'm dating myself here. When Walmart first opened in my neighborhood and I was a kid, I remember basically you could go there and get like Sam's Club soda and like Sam's Club Oreo equivalents. And there was no grocery really. And now it's like you can wander into Walmart and buy whole food plant-based superfoods. I mean, you can get Manitoba Harvest there. It's getting crazy.
They didn't like the fact that Costco was the number one seller of organic products out there in the world. They wanted to take that position back. So they're working hard at it for sure.
Might there be a day when I can wander into Walmart and buy Cool Beans?
Someday, yeah. It wouldn't be a priority at the beginning because we're really only about just a little more than 18 months from launch. And right now we're building brand awareness. So people need to know who we are before we could go into a Kroger or a Walmart, because otherwise nobody will buy it because nobody knows who we are. So you definitely have to have some more awareness before you go into those big retailers like that.
I think this is a good place to ask what I'm going to make my big question for season two. In your opinion, what do we need to do? And that can be brands, that can be the movement as a whole, to bring whole food plant-based more to the forefront in plant-based in general, especially since plant-based is such a wide category?
Oh, I think there's a few things we could do. I think number one, at the government level, we've got to stop incenting meat and dairy and start incenting things that are good for us as humans, and that's vegetables, right? That's where we should be putting subsidy money and trying to push people to come up with creative ways to eat broccoli, not meat and dairy, right? So that's number one. Number two, I would love to see med schools require nutrition classes and multiple nutrition classes, not just one. Doctors should be taught that these vegetables are really good for people, and a variety of vegetables are good for the gut bacteria. And these things that for the most part, none of them know until after and they learn about it. The people that have turned vegan, oftentimes the vegan doctors, it's oftentimes because they had their own health scare. There's four or five stories where they just had huge health scares, and that's what drove them to becoming whole food plant-based. And if they had been taught, they might not have ever gone down that road to be really unhealthy. And they certainly would be expounding the virtues of vegetables to their patients. So I think those would be two huge steps. And then I think finding ways to educate the public. You know, we need to educate people. Documentaries are great. I think Game Changers was a really good one for that because it really brought it down to, I think Forks Over Knives was probably a little more geared toward older people, and Game Changers really brought it down to the youth age and said, hey, here are some prime time athletes, and this is what's going on in their body when they eat meat versus veggies. I think those kinds of things are huge, and we should foster a lot more of those conversations through documentaries, and anything that gets on Netflix is going to be seen, right? So that's a great place to really send the word out.
And how can you see brands contributing to that conversation? Brands like Cool Beans and some of these other whole food plant-based brands?
It's a good question. I could certainly see brands sponsoring or somehow being involved. Although, you know, a lot of filmmakers probably don't want to include brands because then it might look like it's biased. So you got to be careful of that. But I think that the brands in the industry are certainly open and willing to doing what we can to foster those things as long as the filmmakers and folks would want us involved.
I could see some sort of collective whole food plant-based brand conference too at some point. I mean, like summits and stuff are big now. That's one thing, like the pandemic moved everything online. So people are now used to seeing, oh, like I can go and see these 12 different people talk and I can just go at my convenience and I don't have to fly anywhere. So who knows? This is my marketing brain going off on tangents here. But
well, I do think we need a better education about what it is and the movement. And when people see Forks Over Knives or they see Game Changers, they think that I just eat plant-based and I'm going to be a lot, you know, better off. I'm going to lose a lot of weight. I'm going to be healthier, et cetera. And that's not necessarily the case. And they really need to understand the distinction, the four words, whole food, plant-based. We all know it within the community and we know it very well. And it encapsulates everything you need. I'm not sure the public understands it, nor are they ready for it. But I think when you talk about things like whole food ingredients, I think they definitely understand that. Minimally processed. Definitely understand that. The onus is on us to talk about it in the right way too, so that people understand, oh, I get it. You're going from Swanson TV dinners to Evol. That's what you're doing in the plant-based space. Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah, you got it. We need to make that connection for people.
You're saying like contextualize it, because so many people in the plant-based space are like, we just have to give them statistics and this, then, but it almost sounds like you're saying, how does this fit into the story of my health journey, the story of my trajectory from, okay, I tried Beyond Meat. Okay, plant-based stuff tastes good. What can I do to get those benefits that they talked about in Forks Over Knives?
Yeah, exactly. And so many people in the general consumer market are moving toward cleaner and healthier ingredients. So they're kind of that whole clean ingredient movement is happening on a big wave. But then they read a couple stories and they hear about somebody and they're like, oh my God, that Beyond Meat is really overprocessed or blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden turns them off on the whole category of plant-based. So they really need to understand there's different elements of each. Some are more processed than others. And you can stay on that whole move toward clean ingredients in a plant-based diet.
I love it. Journey, trajectory. That was my story. That is what I'm all about. And it sounds like that's what you're all about at Cool Beans. Speaking of, could you let everybody know you told us where they can buy your stuff? Where can they find your brand and whatever else you're doing online?
So our website is eatcoolbeans.com. And that's usually our social media tickers too. So at Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, although Instagram is the one exception. And there we're Love Cool Beans, L-U-V Cool Beans. That's generally where you can find us. And we've got store locators on our website and lots of different blogs and stories, testimonials and things like that. That's the best place to find us.
And I'll reiterate again, if you are listening and you are near one of the stores that carries Cool Beans, you're looking for a snack, you're looking for a way to elevate your veganuary diet, go and check out Cool Beans. I am going to keep waiting for them to show up in my area so that I can get a taste of some of these. Well, thank you so much, Tyler. This was great. It gave me a little bit more insight into what's going on in this particular space in the marketplace. And I hope that it was inspiring to plant-based eaters, aspiring plant-based eaters, and plant-based entrepreneurs who are in the audience. So really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me on. And if anybody's out there starting their veganuary journey, definitely, you know, check out all of Sam's podcast episodes. You'll learn a ton, and it's a great way to make yourself educated. It's easier than you think.
Well, thank you. A shout out on my own show. This is amazing. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Again, big thanks to Tyler for joining me for the very first episode of season 2 of the Modern Health Nerd podcast. I just want to take a minute and explain this new seasonal format. I really enjoyed doing those first 45 episodes, which are now encapsulated under the banner of season 1. But Honestly, guys, podcasting's a lot of work. Those of you who have done it, you know what it's like behind the scenes to put all of these episodes out. And it can be really difficult to get another one out every week and make sure that the quality is as good as it should be and that episodes really are consistent. So I wanted to continue to be able to do that for you and to continue, again, to have these great conversations with people who have deep insights into what's going on in plant-based and better for you and health and all of those areas. So now instead, there will be 3 seasons per year with 8 to 10 episodes per season covering a specific topic. So if there is a topic you'd like me to cover for a future season, drop me a line. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. Just search for Teresa Sam Houghton. Or you can email me, Sam, S-A-M, at modernhealthnerd.com with whatever you'd like me to cover. As always, it is absolutely my pleasure to bring these episodes to you. And if you enjoy this podcast, please follow it on your favorite podcast platform. Drop us a review if that's something you have some time for. Or this season, you can visit anchor.fm/the-modern-health-nerd and click the support button to financially support this podcast going forward. Thanks again for listening. Until next week, when we're back with another whole food plant-based episode for season 2, stay nerdy!